Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block. And welcome to another episode. Wow! The Lakers have been sold for the second time in 14 months in a deal that came together in roughly 72 hours. Mark Walter sold his 78% stake in the franchise on a $12.5 billion valuation to a group led by former Disney CEO Bob Iger and American businessman and venture capitalist Josh Kushner. The Mark Walter era is officially over before it really began. So we will touch on Walter selling, why he sold, the new group and what we know about them, and what's next for the Lakers after another wild summer, back-to-back insane summers for the Lakers. You had last year with the Luka trade, which technically preceded the summer, but then you had the Luka extension and you had the franchise sale originally over last summer. Then you now have LeBron leaving, you have the makeover with the roster, you have the ongoing pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga and finalizing the roster. And then now you have another sale. And I would say this one is as crazy as anything I can remember in terms of covering the Lakers and just covering the NBA. Like, aside from the Luka trade, which just it resides in its own universe in terms of just the absolute insanity of that situation. This is a close second because the Mark Walter sale, like, once that news broke, we knew it was a matter of time until it actually went through. I mean, I guess you could say this is right up there with that one, but it's just rare to see someone sell a team after a year and, I mean, sold it at a notable profit, which we will get into. But I mean, yeah, just a crazy morning. So right now I'm recording this in Heidelberg, Germany. That is where my wife is from. So we're doing a 3-week Europe trip. And of course, this is now the second time. First, it was LeBron leaving to go to Philly as we were getting to Puerto Rico for my mom's birthday trip. This morning, we are literally in line about to board a flight from London to Germany and get the notification that the Lakers have been sold for $12.5 billion. So apologies, I wasn't able to go live or record sooner, but I am on vacation. Did bring the mic just in case something crazy happened. I thought maybe the Kuminga situation or the Lakers waive somebody, they trade dump somebody to clear a roster spot. Did not foresee this team being sold again for the second time in 14 months. But that's why we bring the mic then. And I appreciate my wife for letting me take a break from vacation. So going to go through this quickly and then going to go back to having some fun and watching eclipses in the German mountains. Before we get into it, I would really appreciate if you guys considered hitting that subscribe button for those on YouTube and hitting that follow button for those on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All right, let's get into it. So why did Mark Walter sell? Well, Bloomberg reported that Walter, who is currently being investigated for loan fraud, was looking to acquire capital to pay off the loans that he is being investigated for. So this was essentially an opportunity for him to gain a quick profit, selling the team on a $12.5 billion valuation after he purchased it last summer on a $10 billion valuation. So he was able to net out plus $2.5 billion, which I assume will help. I don't know the scale of these loans or all the loans that he's being investigated for, but I assume an extra $2.5 billion will help with that. But that speaks to the nature of this coming together so quickly, this starting Sunday in terms of the discussion and the initial negotiation, and then this being closed this morning. But the Walter era is officially over. It was technically under a year when you factor in when he purchased the team in an official capacity. And it features some notable developments on the business side when you see the way that they remade the business operations and some of the sponsorships, some of the hiring, and you look at the Coachella Valley with the G League team moving from South Bay to Coachella Valley. You also look at the renovations with the practice facility, and then there's the season tickets and the ticket prices with the price increase. They clearly were focused on improving the bottom line. That was a big motivation over the first year or so with the Walter era, and they did that. Now, the underbelly to that was they still have not hired an assistant GM, and it's, I think that was separate from this whole sale situation, but I don't know that that necessarily helped that process, right? But to my knowledge, the situations are separate in terms of LA's inability as of right now to find that second assistant GM. But there's also a recent round of layoffs that affected a ton of Lakers staffers, people that I know on a personal level, people I've broken bread with on the road, people constantly around the team. And that was an unfortunate fallout from this situation over the last few months. In particular, on the basketball side, there have been two notable developments. First and foremost, the hiring of Rohan Ramadas from the New Orleans Pelicans as one of the two assistant GMs under Rob Pelinka. And then most recently, I think the decision collectively to move on from LeBron James, to not entertain the possibility of him returning on a vet minimum contract or on a discount. And their decision that, hey, we're just moving into the Luka era. We're pivoting here away from LeBron. Doesn't matter if he's willing to play for less. It's time to move forward. Those are the two big decisions that have happened in the Walter era. You could throw in the Luka extension as well, though I think that was probably going to happen regardless of whether Walter was at the helm or not. But I think two things with his stamp on it to some degree are the Ramadas hire and the decision to move on from LeBron. Now, what do we know about the new ownership group? Well, Iger is the former Disney CEO from 2005 to 2020, and then again from 2022 to 2026. My former boss, for what that's worth, and he's one of the most notable power brokers in media and entertainment. And so he's going to be the face of this operation. He's going to be the face of the ownership group, at least for the time being, or the new ownership group, because we'll get to the genie part of this in a second. But Iger is the face of the operation. Of note, he is a former Clippers season ticket holder, a former Clippers fan. There's actually a clip going around that he was on JJ Redick's former podcast, Old Man in the Three, talking about moving to LA from New York, being a Knicks fan, and that he couldn't quite embrace the Lakers because he was a Knicks fan. And there's too much between those two teams, those two franchises. So he decided to become a Clippers fan, very close with Chris Paul as well. So Iger steps in as one of the most powerful people in media, and he is going to be the face of the group. Kushner is a businessman and venture capitalist. He is the managing partner of venture capital firm Thrive Capital, and he is also the brother of Jared Kushner, who is the son-in-law to President Trump. So there's a political element to all this, which has obviously been polarizing. What's interesting with how this has played out is these two were pursuing the Las Vegas expansion team and were looking to put together roughly $7.5 billion to agree to terms on that team, but decided to pivot and pursue the Lakers once that became an opportunity to them over the weekend. Arguably the biggest question that I know all Laker fans have been thinking about is, what does this mean for Jeannie Buss and her future with the team? Because of the pre-existing agreement between Jeannie and Mark Walter, well, according to Kobe Price of the California Post, friend of the show, Iger said that the plan remains in place for Jeannie to serve as the governor moving forward over that 5-year period, which technically she just served as that for one season. But he had an interesting end to his statement. I will read the full statement here. So this is from Kobe Price, notes new Lakers co-owner Bob Iger to the California Post Sports on Jeannie Buss, quote, "We have every intention to honor the agreement that was made between Mark and Jeannie. If things change, they'll change, but we're going into this with enormous respect and appreciation for who she is and what she represents." So like the first part of that sentence, we have every intention to honor the agreement that was made between Mark and Jeannie. You take that at face value. They intend to honor it. The second part of that sentence, if things change, they'll change. I mean, that's not the most ringing endorsement of things actually maintaining in terms of the current agreement. So we'll see. I've tried to ask around, get some insight into this. Everyone collectively that I've spoken to was shocked by this. It caught off guard by this sale and this decision. So no one has any real insight as of right now into what the fallout will be. But I thought him saying if things change, they'll change was notable, because that's the out, right? Like if he decides to pivot and he wants to be the face of the operation, or eventually Kushner wants to be the face of the operation and they want to be the governors in the governor's meetings, they can do that. And they have this now out there that if things change, they'll change. But then again, follows up with, but we're going into this with enormous respect and appreciation for who she is and what she represents. And that's one of the most fascinating parts about this, is how involved was Jeannie Buss in this process? The Buss family is a minority stakeholder at this point in the ownership group. They are maintaining their stake. Walter's not selling the Dodger Group, and the Sparks Group is not being sold either. But it was interesting how he flipped this within a span of 14 months. And I just don't have great insight into how involved she was or how much of it. Of course, she was given a heads up, but it's interesting how this could now dramatically shift this power dynamic and could lead to potentially Iger or Kushner becoming the governor sooner than anticipated, and could also lead to a shakeup within the front office. And Rob Pelinka's standing within all this is going to be interesting as well, right? But I think the biggest thing with all of this to me is just the uncertainty with where things go from here. Because at least with Mark Walter and his group, there was a proof of concept with the Dodgers, and we could break down for an hour the differences between the MLB and the NBA with the salary cap and with the roster structures and just how you team build in each sport. But at the core of it, there's been success here, and the Dodgers are potentially in the middle of a dynasty right now and have some of the best collection of talent we've ever seen on an MLB roster. And the Lakers were trying to do that, and we're trying to build toward that. And there was a sense of optimism, right? There's a sense of both optimism and just a proof of concept with what they had done with the Dodgers and what they were aspiring to do with the Lakers. And now we just don't know what to expect from this new ownership group. Like I think every new owner should be given a certain amount of benefit of the doubt, but especially when you're putting down as much capital as they're putting down to purchase the team. At the same time, we just don't know how Bob Iger is going to be as a co-owner, or how Josh Kushner is going to be as a co-owner. We can look at their successes in business and try to extrapolate how that is going to fare at the NBA ownership level. But every NBA owner has had successes in business that led to them being able to purchase a team or be the face of a group purchasing the team. And then we see not every NBA owner is a success, and not every NBA owner knows what they're doing. And they could be giant basketball fans. They could be used to being the smartest person in the room, in every room they step in. It's just different operating an NBA franchise compared to whatever business they were in prior. So I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt here to start off, and just let's see how they build out the front office. Let's see what they do with the rest of the roster. Let's see how the next year or so goes before we really judge where things are at. But we went from knowing what Mark Walter and his group was capable of and having a sense of optimism that, based on their prior success and current success with the Dodgers, that they could apply that to the Lakers. We only got a taste of it. We didn't really get the full Dodgerification of the Lakers. We didn't get the full Dodger experience, but we saw glimpses of it. We saw flashes of it. And I think if this maintained for, into the future, then we would have seen that. Clearly had a good relationship with Luka Doncic, who tweeted about the situation as well, tweeted his support for Bob and Josh and his just continuing to claim that he is a Laker. And like, I really like Luka tweeting about it and his leadership from that and his statement on that. But I think that the biggest thing for me is just the uncertainty now. Just, we don't know, right? And even with Mark Walter, I think there had been different things in terms of how involved he actually was behind the scenes and why some of these things were slow played. And I'd heard different things about that. So again, we didn't get the full Mark Walter experience, but you at least had a baseline level of confidence that Mark Walter and the people he put in power and in place had a strong plan in place. And the same can't be said with the new ownership group. Doesn't mean they're not going to be successful. Doesn't mean they're not going to have a great plan, but we still have to see it. Iger also said in his interview with the California Post that the new ownership group hasn't made any decisions yet, and that anything coming out in terms of their viewpoint on X or Y or Z is purely speculation. Again, this came together within a matter of 72 hours. So I would expect them to have their best laid plans in place coming off of really a negotiation. Like, it's been negotiating, trying to come to a number and a final price on all this. They haven't had time to decide what they want to do with the basketball side and the business side, et cetera. So that will be in the coming days and weeks and months. But it is notable that he admitted there's no current plan as of right now. As for what's next, I think what's next is they need to make that plan, and they need to make that plan as soon as possible, because the Lakers are less than 2 months away from media day, less than 2 months away from the season starting. And so it'd be great if they have those plans in place by the end of the month, realistically, right? At least like middle of September, I would say at the latest. They need to try to find that assistant GM. They need to figure out the rest of the roster, and they need to figure out what the plan is for the next 12 months with this group. And of course, Rob Pelinka and his staff have plans in place, and they have their vision, but now they have to sell it to Iger and Kushner and the new ownership group. And that is its own matter entirely. But I think it's important, like the basketball ops side, I think to me is the big one here, where the Lakers, I just really think they need the assistant GM. They should have had that hire in place before the draft. They didn't. The draft and scouting is such an important part of a basketball front office that I think they need to find that person, find that voice, find that vision, and hire that person ASAP. But look, the Lakers will always be at the center of NBA discourse, regardless of if they're in the middle of a surprise sale or a surprise trade. But hopefully things calm down after a wild 18 months here with the Luka trade, with two sales, with LeBron leaving. I doubt they will, but certainly, like, this is one of the craziest stretches in Lakers history. Going back, like, this past 18 month stretch is up there really with any stretch in Lakers history in terms of craziest Lakers stretch. Like, there's different stretches that are up there, but I think Luka Doncic and that trade just coming out of nowhere, plus two sales. This is a franchise that had been owned by the buses for multiple decades, and to be sold twice within the span of 14 months is just absolute madness. And so where things go from here, I'm not sure, but I will be sure to cover it. Appreciate you guys rocking with me with the vacation setup. I'll be back tomorrow for a quick reaction to the Lakers schedule. And then it will be back to regularly scheduled program, which is me doing whatever I want to do on my break. And I have some player previews. As you guys saw, I had the Sandro Mamukelashvili one earlier in the week. I've got a Walker Kessler one, Quentin Grimes, Colin Sexton, Matisse Thybulle, and Zaire Williams that will all be releasing over the next 2.5 weeks before I return. But shout out to the chat, shout out to the Late Night Gang. Appreciate you all for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.